Welcome everyone to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program with Bruce Miller, editor of the Sioux City Journal and a longtime entertainment reporter. Bruce, we are back. It's a new year, a new season of Streamed and Screened. Are you excited?
Well, we're ready because it's the awards. We are in the heart of award season. In fact, what we see coming out of the Golden Globes this week will largely determine what's going to be happening in the next couple of months. Golden Globes, didn't they get rid of those things? What was the deal with that? And they've had so much controversy over the 81 years these suckers have been going on. And there, I swear, every 10 years, there's some controversy about either the makeup of the people who are in the group, who they vote for, who bought them off, you can find a scandal per decade. But they're back, and now they're going to be on CBS. Joe Coy is going to be hosting, and they've added something that people are going, what? And hey, the Oscar folks tried it before, and they got nowhere with it. The cinematic and box office achievement of the year. In other words, a real big blockbuster should get a prize. So they have all these ones that are kind of going up against each other that were names that you'd know. And I'm sure that's to bring in the audience because they go, well, yeah, I saw Mission Impossible. Yeah, I like Spider-Man. Yeah, Taylor Swift, we watched that concert. So they're going to give one of those ones a prize, which I always think is a lame thing to do. Because they got the money. They got your money. That's the prize, right?
Yep.
But what it did was it gave Barbie the most nominations of the year. That's not only significant because it's the second most nominations of all time. So Barbie looks like a huge winner and could be. But then you got to look a little closer and they've got several nominations for Best Song, which, okay, you can only win one.
Right. And they have three nominations.
Right. And they're in the comedy musical category, which is always seen as kind of a lesser category to win in. So Barbie's going to go home with something. She's not just taking Ken to this thing. She's getting something else out of it. But this whole extra kind of box office achievement, really? And then there's a best stand-up comedian TV special category that they threw in there. And I don't know if that's to pay back Ricky Gervais for being the host for so many years and maybe luring him back, or if it's just a way to, you know, fill the room. Although I got to tell you, they hold these things at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. It is the smallest ballroom you'll ever find. I've been in there many, many times, and they're practically out into the driveway. That's how far they've got tables. Plus, which they say they're serving food, but it's really not food. And they just keep opening curtains and curtains and curtains and curtains until you don't know where the hell you are. But it looks like $1 million on TV. It really looks good. But the room is small. So we'll see. And, I always, when I'm in there, I go, well, here's where Meryl Streep would sit. Here's where Brad Pitt would sit. Here's where Jack Nicholson is. So it's very easy to kind of scope the room out. Lesser award shows have been in there as well. But it is a surprise when you look at it. It's like, wow, I thought this was a bigger deal than it is.
You mentioned that it's like they're serving dinner, but maybe not really. I would love to see that. I would love to see, you know, somebody with like shrimp cocktail and the cocktail sauce dripping on their shirt.
One year, one of the winners pulled up the piece of meat that they got and showed how bad it was.
Like sending back the fish, you know, it's like,
it was bad. I think a lot of times now they've reduced it to mainly hors d'oeuvres because nobody's going to eat. And then they don't want to spill on anything because it's too tight. So yeah, it's one of those, the route that you have to take to get from either the, usually the TV people are up on the balcony and they've got to go down to the, through the main floor, which has the big stars because they want to make sure they get them in all the shots. And then upstairs, easily you could trip and fall. It's not a short route to the winner's circle. Here's what we're going to see is who really is kind of leading the pack for best picture, because I'm guessing that Barbie's going to do well in the comedy categories. But the drama categories, we've got that big 1-2 punch of Killers of the Flower Moon and Oppenheimer. Those two are going to be going head to head in a number of areas. And I think if we see one of them get a little boost from this, even though it's considered the Golden Globes and they're not worth anything, it will give them something to push in an ad for the next week.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But okay, are you ready to look at some of those categories?
I do appreciate you going through and explaining the cinematic achievement one, because I was going through the list this morning and I'm trying to think, like, why was Dead Reckoning Part One nominated? Didn't that one bomb at the box office, or it just wasn't?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So
yeah, you know, the other thing is, these are often, who can they get to the show? And I'm not bad-mouthing the foreign press. Please, this is not that. But you can just see it's built in. Taylor Swift got a nomination for that Eras Tour. Really?
Right. Yeah.
And that's to try and make sure that Taylor Swift shows up.
Yep. But will she? I mean, the Chiefs are playing on Sunday.
But if you're present, chances are good you might be winning.
That is correct. Yep. Yeah. Well, so what do you want to focus in on first, then?
Here's the thing that I find kind of interesting. Okay, foreign press. Mm-hmm. That means that if you are a foreign language person or with a foreign language film, your chances are a little bit better of winning because you have foreign press people voting on this. So a film that would probably only get one nomination in the Oscars has an opportunity here to get more than one. And in the best drama category, they've got three foreign films that are nominated. So that says right there, that could be a spoiler, because one of those, if they got attention here, could get the attention they need to get into the Oscar top 10. So we'll see what happens with that. Same way with the actresses and actors. They like to reward new people. The Golden Globes will often go to somebody that you go, really? I'm not so sure. And they're not big on, with TV categories particularly, they don't like to repeat. So the idea of having a succession sweep in a period of years, unlikely. Who's going to be the person who benefits most from this? Who will be the kind of the dark horse who suddenly becomes a front runner just based on what happens at the ceremony?
Okay.
So does that give you a little ground rule there to look at?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm looking at the best motion picture drama, and it has Anatomy of a Fall, Past Lives, and The Zone of Interest. Those are our three foreign language ones.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, and Oppenheimer. Okay. There you've got your real kind of category that's going to be, I think it's those three. It's between or among those three.
Yeah.
That will be where the battle will be. Because one of those other ones is going to win in the foreign language category. And there are a couple of ones that I think could win in the performance categories that are connected to those.
Okay. So now, I've only seen Oppenheimer. Where do you kind of fall on this one?
I like Oppenheimer, but from my inside sources, Killers of the Flower Moon is getting a lot of attention.
Okay.
Maestro, I don't think has a shot. Maestro has become this year's Mank.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those Netflix films that they spend a lot of money marketing it, and then it ends up with basically one award. And so that's why I think Maestro is not going to be a player in this year's awards fest. So I think it's between Killers and Oppenheimer. I like Oppenheimer better, but Killers of the Flower Moon has a lot of sentiment in Hollywood. For the comedy musical category, there's Air, which I told you I loved last week.
Right.
American Fiction, Barbie, The Holdovers, May, December, and Poor Things. Now, Poor Things hasn't come out in theaters yet. So if it won, this would be a good boost for them to see the box office grow.
Okay.
They'll go, well, I saw that. It won an award. It must be good. Let's go look at that. But I do think that this is Barbie's to lose.
If there's another film that kind of somehow sneaks out, you know, everybody thinks it's going to be Barbie, but if it isn't, which one do you think would be the dark horse?
I would like Holdovers to be the one. You know, the odd thing about this is that Color Purple wasn't in there, and Color Purple musical, it fit the category. Whereas this, you've got ones where you go, May, December is a comedy? Really? I don't think it is. So that had to be a real snub against Color Purple that they didn't put that in there. So I think it's Barbie's to lose.
Okay.
Animated picture. Now here you're going to see it's going off the rails because it's not going to be any of the ones that you think. I think The Boy and the Heron will win because it has that foreign element. It's a director who's been well respected. It's a great film. And when you look at the Disney ones, which usually win, and come on, I know you like the Super Mario Brothers, but...
Right. That's not winning anything.
It's not going to win. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse could, But I think that depends on them somehow having an inside track. And I don't think
okay.
they do.
Okay.
So I think it's Boy and the Heron is going to win that. That whole big cinematic box office one, you know, here's where John Wick can have a little fun. People love John Wick and they want to put it in somewhere. And you go, yep, I bet that's where they would win that if Barbie doesn't.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, do you think that they'll skip over like an Oppenheimer or a Barbie just to give it to something else?
If Oppenheimer doesn't win the best drama, here's a way to give it one so they can say the Golden Globe award winning film. It's all about advertising 1 week after the awards.
How about this just crazy idea? Could Super Mario Brothers win there just because it came out of absolutely nowhere and crushed the box office for, what, 6 weeks, 8 weeks in the early part of the year?
It could, but I'll tell you, if we're going by box office receipts, Barbie, she got there before everybody else. She had the first female-directed film to make over $1 billion. There's a lot. But I hate this category. And I also don't think that Taylor Swift should win.
No, you're just filming a concert. I mean, nothing against the multiple angles you're using to shoot a concert, but it's just a concert.
Create a new category. Beyonce had a film too, right?
Exactly.
Foreign film, it's going to be down to Zone of Interest, Anatomy of a Fall, and Past Lives. It's those three.
Okay.
The rest of the ones, no, I don't think they have a shot. And I know that one of the ones is not in the category in the Oscars because it wasn't submitted by its country. And I can't think of it right away, but that could be the way that they do something like that.
Okay.
Then we get to, okay, here's where the fun starts. The performance categories.
Yep.
I really think that Sandra Hüller from Anatomy of a Fall has a real shot of winning this. I really do. Best performance by an actress in a drama.
Okay.
Up against Annette Bening for Naiad, no. Lily Gladstone is a real big favorite in Hollywood right now. Mm-hmm. They would love to see her win. It would be a real feather in their cap, so to speak, because they're reaching out to new people. Greta Lee doesn't have that much to do in Past Lives. Carey Mulligan really carries Maestro. And then Kaylee Spani from Priscilla, no. That was so bad, she shouldn't even be on the list. I think here's one where that Sandra Hüller from Anatomy of a Fall, she's in two big films this year. She's also okay. with the Zone of Interest.
Okay.
And here's a way, she's foreign. She's really good in this. She's the focus of the movie. And it's a way to say, okay, now here's one you should consider. Look at this one as a possible winner. But it's Lily Gladstone's to lose. But Sandra Hüller is the one who I think is in the waiting in the wings.
Okay.
All right, for best actor, here's where we're going to get the, is it Cillian Murphy or is it Bradley Cooper? That's where that comes down to. Barry Keoghan, Salt Burn, no. And I noticed, have you watched the things now where he says, I really was naked. That wasn't a prosthetic. I really was not naked. That's a pitch to get the award nomination.
Right.
That's all that is. That's not anything else. But I think it's, Cillian Murphy, Bradley Cooper, maybe Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay.
That's your three. Cillian Murphy should win it because he really carried Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And you always saw him as somebody who was also in the cast.
I can't speak to all those actors there, but I was blown away by his performance in Oppenheimer.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah. And you know, that's the thing about the Golden Globes. You can say what you want about how kind of trashy they might be, but
right.
they are a good bellwether of who should win. They don't always match up, but
yeah.
they are certainly one that will give credit to somebody who could be in the running.
Yeah.
Okay, female in a musical or comedy, I think it's down to Margot Robbie, and if they're really going all the way for Barbie, or Emma Stone for Poor Things. Emma Stone is the one that everybody talks about as she's won it. And she is good. She plays a Frankenstein-like creature who is enlightened. She becomes much smarter than everybody else. The rest of the ones, no, I don't think so. So I think it's down to, if Barbie's having a big night, they're going all out for that.
Yep.
Then we get to your male actor in a musical or comedy, and here your Timothée Chalamet has a shot.
There you go.
You know what? That's where you go, what? He won? And that's how they could do it. He could be the winner there. Paul Giamatti is my choice because I love the holdovers.
Yeah.
That was so, so right on. But any of those ones could win. Any of them could win. And we've got Nicolas Cage, Matt Damon, Joaquin Phoenix, and Jeffrey Wright. Jeffrey Wright would be a good spoiler for American Fiction.
It seems like a really tough category to pick for.
Yeah, it's like, go ahead, pick one. But I think Timothée Chalamet would be a great choice for the Golden Globe people. Because if they pick him, that immediately says, wait a minute now, we got to look at these Golden Globes one more time, a little closer. Emmy's good. Let's get in there. And so I think it raises their profile by picking him. Plus, which it's Wonka. I think Wonka's going to be a bigger player than you think because the sets were great.
Yep.
The costumes were great. There are going to be a lot of those below the line categories where it could be something. And so they can be the first to give that movie its due.
I saw Wonka over the Christmas break and I was delighted. I really went into it very skeptical that, you know, especially after the Tim Burton one that they did a number of years ago, which I didn't think it was terrible, but it wasn't after growing up on the original Willy Wonka with Gene Wilder. I just didn't feel like that lived up to it. But this feels like a true prequel to the original Willy Wonka movie. And it was just his performance was delightful. I don't know any other way to say it, but it was just very enjoyable to watch.
It was directed by the guy behind Paddington 2.
Yep.
And Paddington 2 was considered a great family film.
It was.
So here's a way, you know, Wonka didn't do that badly, and there could be a really good interim year thing. We get Timothy back. He could do another one. I think there's a lot of potential for that. So go with that. Supporting actress. Boy, this is it's any of them. Anyone could win. I do think that Divine Joy Randolph has the edge. In all the ones when you hear people talking about who's likely to be the winner, her name comes up the most. But having seen Danielle Brooks in The Color Purple, she's a wowser too. And then let's give something to the past. Let's reward some of our old people from the past. And that's Jodie Foster.
Right.
So say, we love you, old Hollywood. Are you coming? And Jodie marks her RSVP and says, yes, I will be there. They go, maybe we should give it to Jodie. Okay,
or
Jodie.
Or they're going to wait on Jodie Foster and she's going to get it next year when
True Detective
comes out. Because I mean, look, I haven't seen it yet. It's due out, you know, very soon now. But every time I see those trailers for that show, I can feel Jodie Foster having a big year with this one. Yep.
Okay, and then supporting actor.
This is a blast from the past, isn't it, on most of them?
Yeah, well, you got Robert De Niro. Come on. I don't know that he will show. That could be right away you think, he's not coming, so he's out of there. Robert Downey Jr., come back. He's not doing a Marvel character. He's doing drama. He never won before. Let's give Robert Downey Jr. something. Willem Dafoe is one who deserves awards, and this could be one of those kind of lifetime achievement things because he's good. He's very good in this. Mark Ruffalo is funny, but there is still space there for him. Ryan Gosling and Charlie Melton are two kind of younger ones that if they want to go younger, that's their way of rewarding. And that's the history. In this category, they have picked a younger guy. The young man who was in Power of the Dog, I believe, won this category. And then went on to Oscar nomination, but didn't win the Oscar.
Because in the Oscars, they always reward the older person with the supporting. Yeah. That's how it goes.
The Oscars are usually a young woman in supporting actress and an old man.
That's right.
That's just how they go.
It's very strange. Yep.
That's your movie categories. Now, if you want to, we'll slip over to television.
Yes.
I mean, I could go into the songs and all that, but I think best song's going to go to Billie Eilish.
I was going to throw that out. Like I know that there's three songs nominated, but when I looked at who the songwriters were, everybody loves Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell.
The song was a hit.
Yep.
And it's nominated for a bunch of Grammys. They don't even need to see the movie to figure out if this was a good one to you.
Right. The biggest stunner in that whole category, and I'm a huge Bruce Springsteen fan, I had no idea he was nominated for a Gold Globe for song. His Addicted to Romance. He did the music and lyrics, and I'm not even sure I heard the song.
Well, that's one of those ones where if it's a big kind of star who's writing, they'll get nominated.
Yep.
Because you might show, you got him in the front row, we're giving him you know, at least something.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So television drama, what are you thinking here?
Now, the obvious choice is it's going to Succession.
Yep.
Because you love it.
Yep.
The rest of the world loves it. It's the last season. It's got it, right? Ah, but then we come to the idea that maybe some of these other ones got overlooked, or
right.
Maybe there's something. The Crown, British, come on.
Foreign press, right.
Right. I think, though, they're going to go off the beam and they're going to pick something just really, The Last of Us. It'll be something like that.
That's kind of where I'm leaning. Now, looking at all those, I haven't seen all of those shows, so I can't, you know, I didn't see 1923, and I did not see The Diplomat, and I'm not caught up on The Morning Show, but that show kind of lost me after the first season or so. I didn't stick with that one. But looking at, like, The Crown, The Last of Us, and Succession, personally, I would vote for Succession. To me, it is, after The Sopranos, the best drama in recent memory. You know, I probably would have gone Game of Thrones if it didn't kind of like fall off a cliff that last season.
Right.
But Succession, pound for pound, season for season, was just unstoppable every year. So, I mean, I would probably go with Succession, but part of me kind of wants to see The Last of Us win it.
Yeah. Well, and that's how this goes. It should win.
Yep.
Just because of the, and when we talk Emmys, you'll see what I mean.
Yep.
But with this, I think they go rogue and they try something else. Comedy series. Again, you could have that same concept going. The Bear is considered the likely winner of everything everywhere.
Yeah.
But maybe The Bear didn't translate that well to a foreign language voting populace. Jury duty is odd, and it might be something that if I was a foreigner in the United States and I go to jury duty, I might relate to it, you know?
Okay.
Abbott Elementary had its year, so I don't know that it's necessarily... So I'm still going to go with The Bear. I think it's going to be The Bear.
Okay.
Then we get to the limited series. I love this title. How do they even get this on a trophy? Best television limited series, anthology series, or motion picture made for television.
Right.
A lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Okay. The Fargo here is the one that we're watching now.
Right.
So it's like, well, how come that's in that? That shouldn't be in that. Put that in next year's. But Fellow Travelers has a big fan base, and that could win. I don't think that Lessons in Chemistry has a shot in hell. Daisy Jones and the Six, I don't think that is a shot. Beef could, and All the Light We Cannot See, maybe. But
that one, but could that one translate with the foreign crowd? Because it takes place in Europe, in France. I mean, obviously, it's an American... Well, British, I guess. Yeah.
You see how we do view these from a different perspective?
It is an interesting look. Absolutely.
So anyone can win. I think, though, if they wanted to be real kind of avant-garde or whatever, they're going to pick Fellow Travelers.
Okay.
But Fargo, I love Fargo. So
that's a great show. Yep.
You know? Then we've got female, and it's Helen Mirren from 1923. Did you even consider that? I mean, I would have even put her in the supporting category. They like her if she shows, and she lives in Los Angeles, so she could show. She's British.
Mm-hmm.
That all these things are checking boxes for her. But she's got a couple other Brits to deal with as well.
Right.
So I don't know. If Emma Stone doesn't win in the other category, she could win here because The Curse was popular.
Okay.
But I'm going my Terry book. Sarah Snook should win for Succession.
She's great. But I could also see her getting passed over too.
Yeah.
Because it's such an ensemble cast. I think they all kind of in some ways get lost amongst each other. Probably not so much for her because she's the only major female character, but definitely on the male side, it's all over the place.
Well, so that category, toss the dice. You'll see what happens. With the men, we've got three from Succession.
Right.
Okay, does that cancel all three out?
Pedro Pascal, The Last of Us.
See, he could then slide in and win.
Yeah, he was good.
And Dominic West, I hate him in this show. He's in The Crown, and I hate him in that. He doesn't remind me at all of Charles.
No, he doesn't.
Right?
Right. No, I'm with you on that.
If you had to pick one of those three from Succession, which would you pick?
Probably. Oh, man. I would probably go Jeremy Strong. I don't think I would go Brian Cox because he didn't.
He's dead.
He's dead. He only made it through half the season.
Wow.
Kieran, I don't know. You know, like Kieran Culkin, his character is so weird and all over the place. It's he's so reprehensible, but maybe that's why he wins also.
Right. And then also he's got a brother.
Right.
Who's a huge star who just got a star on the Walk of Fame. Is this a way of evening the score for the family?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I can't see Brian Cox winning it only because he didn't make it through the whole season. But man, yeah, Jeremy Strong or Kieran Culkin, I don't know. I'd go back and forth on that.
I think we're going with Pedro Pascal. I think he'll win. Woman in a musical or comedy. Now, here we have some of those kind of last chance, whatever. Elle Fanning's, that show's dead. She's out. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel won before. She's out. Selena Gomez, they never talk about her as the real star of that show. In fact, they almost should put her in a supporting category. She'd have a better shot. She's out. So we get down to basically Natasha Lyonne from Poker Face, mm-hmm. which would play perfectly into their hand because that's not one that you would think about. Quinta, I think, has won before for Abbott Elementary, or at least she won something, and she's won the Emmy for writing. Okay. So she's kind of old news. But then there's Ayo Edebiri from The Bear. And I think she has a shot. But again, I don't think she's in the right category. I think she's more supporting in the first season than she
was.
I think it's going to go to Natasha Lyonne.
Okay.
That's my guess. Male in a comedy, we say goodbye to Bill Hader.
Yeah.
So is that his exit strategy? No. Jason Sudeikis? No.
No.
It's Jeremy Allen White. He's going to win for The Bear.
Yeah, I can't see anybody else winning but him. I mean, he's whichever season it is nominated, he is absolutely brilliant in that show.
He should win. So I think we're good there. Supporting actor or actress. Let's do that one.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
This is an odd thing because it's like other kinds of shows all thrown into one. How does this work? They've got, female actor in a supporting role on television. Okay, you've got The Crown. Somebody from The Bear, Yellow Jacket, Succession, Only Murders in the Building, and Ted Lasso. So we're mixing up dramas and comedies always fare poorly in that kind of a thing. But bar none, all of this crap comes down to, Meryl Streep is in the category.
Mm-hmm.
Meryl Streep has won. There you go. Done deal. We're picking Meryl. Meryl is the winner. That's just how it is. It's that random.
Yeah, that is,
right?
That is bizarre.
Because you look at the other ones and you go, the one who played Princess Diana, she was good, okay. Then we've got Abby Elliott. She's the sister in the
big.
Christina Ricci, she's one of those friends from Yellow Jackets. J. Smith Cameron from Succession. And then Hannah Waddingham from Ted Lasso. Now, Hannah is a possible because she's British and she was like gobsmacked, as she'd like to say.
Right.
About the nomination. So she's playing to the crowd.
Yeah.
She's wanting that. And that could be their farewell prize for Ted Lasso. But Meryl Streep, if she shows, Meryl, honey, come on up here. It's yours.
You know, just a quick aside, my parents actually briefly got to know Abby Elliott in some really weird way.
Really?
Because my parents went on an African safari a number of years ago, and Abby Elliott was in their safari party because she was on her honeymoon.
Oh, my God.
And my dad is like, he comes back and he's like, and there was this guy in our group who was, he's a writer or something. He does TV shows. And I looked up the name and I had no idea who it was. But I saw who he was married to. It's Abby Elliott. I'm like, I think you buried the lead here, Dad. It's like she's the bigger star than her husband.
Did you get to know him? Come on, right? Tell everything.
apparently not well enough to realize that she was on SNL and Chris Elliott's daughter and all that.
Yeah.
This was before The Bear and all that. But they were. It was like a week long African safari. They stayed in somewhat posh accommodations in between. Taking photos of lions and stuff.
Forget the elephants. We're over there talking with her.
Right, exactly.
Right? That's what we do.
Yep.
So, then we want her to win so that then
you
have a moment, right?
Exactly, right.
The supporting male has another kind of a wide-ranging thing. And I think with the, it's got one, two, three succession people. The Morning Show guy, he's won things before, so I think he's dead in the water. One from The Bear, and then James Marsden from Jury Duty. And I think that one is odd enough that James Marsden could win.
I could see, though, you know what, if it is going to go to somebody from Succession, it's going to be Alexander Skarsgård.
Okay. Was he good?
Very good.
All right.
And it does play into the, it was kind of like an Elon Musk-ish type of role. You didn't know if you wanted to like him or hate him or what. Okay. He was kind of playing the sides. And
that will help him for the Emmy because he's nominated there too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'll
very
see,
good.
See what happens. Okay. And then we had the female and male in the limited series, anthology series, or motion picture. And here you got, we like Juno Temple. We think she's great. But you've got Elvis Presley's granddaughter in there, right?
Right?
You know, from Daisy Jones and the Six. And I think that's that kind of one they like to do. I bet she wins.
Okay. I'm going to throw this out, and I'm wondering if it's actually going to be Juno Temple, because she is, it falls under the foreign actor, right?
Sure.
She was also in Ted Lasso, obviously not nominated in Ted Lasso, but she's very, very good in Ted Lasso and very notable in Ted Lasso. And I think her Fargo performance is such a huge career turn for her.
Sure.
Because you don't even recognize it. It's like, wait, who, that looks like Juno Temple, but it doesn't sound like her. It was such a big shift in acting for her that I could almost see her coming out with it. But that's just me.
I want her to win. I think she's good. I think Rachel Weisz has an edge because she played two characters in Dead Ringers. I think that always sells. She's also foreign. But I think Riley Keough is the spoiler thing where you go, oh my God, last year we had the Elvis people there and mom was there and grandma was there. And now this year we continue the thread with the next, you know, you almost can hear the speech coming out. Then in that same kind of category, but for the males, Matt Bomer is tough to beat because he's with Fellow Travelers. And that, like I say, don't underestimate Fellow Travelers. That has had a lot of traction. But John Hamm is in here.
Yep.
And they were really kind, they were good to John Hamm in the early days, but then didn't really come through the rest of the time. Here's a way to say John Hamm really changed things up. We could give it to him.
Woody Harrelson, I'm going to throw this out though. I don't think he'll win. Woody Harrelson was really fun to watch in White House Plumbers. Did you see that one at all?
Yes. Yes.
That was a bizarre, very bizarre series.
David Oyelowo.
Yeah.
This was a passion project for him for years. I think we even had some people on that we talked to about that. So that could be a thing in his favor as well. So it crapsheet.
Yep.
6-1, whatever. Okay. Then I'm going to come to our last big category, which is stand-up comedy special person. Okay.
Right.
You pick Ricky Gervais, Trevor Noah, Chris Rock, Amy Schumer, Sarah Silverman, Wanda Sykes.
Who do you go with?
Well, the one I thought should have been on there was John Mulaney. I love it.
Right. He's talked about that. Yeah.
And not even on there. So then that goes to, okay, do we reward Ricky Gervais for hosting the show for a number of years?
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the other ones, Trevor Noah left. Chris Rock, there's another opportunity this next year because he's doing something else. Amy Schumer, she gets too feisty with them, so no. Sarah Silverman, a little too out there, no. But Wanda Sykes plays well with others. So you see what I mean? I think we're going to give Ricky a make good.
A little thank you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
A little, it's
like the gift basket that comes at the end of the thing. And if he shows, even better.
Yeah, I could see that. And then, you know, not just because he was been the host, but it obviously plays well with the foreign crowd. And
And when he was bad-mouthing them, they took it. So, come on, it has to be. I think it's a winner.
Yeah.
I think Ricky Gervais.
Wow. All
so
right,
then
there
our look at Golden Globes. Is that not the weirdest?
That is weird. And then it sets us up perfectly for the Emmys the following week, right?
Next
because whoever wins these
Emmys.
Golden Globes will win in the Emmys too, right? Because it's the same year and everything, which makes...
it's all screwed up.
We should have seen the Emmys in September, right? They were pushed back by 4 months.
Yes. It's a way you get rid of one season and you start a new season.
Wow.
These are coming so old. Are these people even still around that could be nominated? I don't know.
It's going to be it'll be an interesting one. Well, so, but I mean, we're thinking Barbie's going to kind of run away with this.
I think she'll have a few things there. Yeah. The Golden Globes will be on CBS and Paramount Plus. So it's switching. It used to be on NBC, but now, you know, since they had another one of those kind of, we're not talking to you years where they, I don't even know, did they do live streaming last year? I don't even remember how it was. This is a break. They'll want to be different. CBS is looking for its kind of marquee movie show. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's going to be on CBS on the 7th, I believe it is. So look for it. And it's always fun to watch. But know that that room is so small that you better go to the bathroom before you even begin, because you'll never get back in time if you're winning something.
And we will keep an eye out to see if anybody spills a shrimp cocktail. That's what I'm in for. And
Don't bring a big dress.
That's right. All right, Bruce. Well, thanks for that episode. We will be back again next week with another episode of Streamed and Screened.